He used to cover sporting. He used to cover the Chiefs. Now he covers everything. Okay, we get it. He's the columnist for the Kansas City Star, Sam McDowell, only on the program.
Yes, indeed. Let's talk to our man, Sam McDowell. He's brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. You want to talk happy hour? You want to talk holidays? Get the guys together. You're going to have yourself a office party. No better place to go than Twin Peaks. Get everybody together and go enjoy some 29-degree man-sized draft beer, premium cocktails, TVs everywhere, made-from-scratch menu. It's all right there, TwinPeaksRestaurant.com, Independence, Olathe, and the Boardwalk Shops. Go by, enjoy you some happy hour coming up here in just a little bit. Sam, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Fantastic. I feel so much more informed about the Chiefs passing game after that riveting question. Do we have his question on it? I know we had...
I actually didn't put a star by it. You put a one. You may put one by it.
I think I put one by it just because it was Sam, and I was like, I don't know, we're going to mess with this. So I don't have it. But that was some insight you got there.
I think you mean riveting answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Andy Reid, a riveting answer. Yeah. Question was just nails, too.
There was a reason for the question,
you know, though. Your excitable delivery.
There was a reason for the question, which was Patrick Mahomes said yesterday that Travis Kelce kind of just does his own thing sometimes, and he waits to see which way he's going to break. And I thought maybe he did that on that Jalen Ramsey play.
Well, that's exactly the play that he was talking about.
That's what I asked him about. I asked him about postgame, and he gave me a really good answer on it, basically saying that. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And so, I mean, you know how the nature of postgame press conferences are. They go so quick, you don't really have the opportunity to ask like three in a row. And I'd already asked two. Let somebody else, and I just never got back to it to Patrick. So I asked Andy about it today, and it was, no, that was the route. He was supposed to run that play. And I was like, all right.
What do you call that route, Andy? That which should have been your follow-up.
I think that, well.
Because I loved your, did you know that you were still?
I did not.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, thanks,
no,
Andy.
I did not. It's just like a natural reaction. All right, thanks. No.
Because I thought it was a snide, well, that was useless. Kind of.
Oh, no, I didn't know. I was still unmuted. Yes. Usually you're muted, yeah, and you don't get a chance
that's
to
right.
ask them. I didn't think I'd need a follow-up. I thought that's all I needed. But then, yeah, when the answer was that,
great.
It was like, all right, well, there goes that idea.
Suddenly you're Richard Belzer. Yeah, great. Thanks.
I'm going to write a whole column about how a receiver ran the route he was supposed to run.
Yeah.
And it resulted in a completion for a touchdown.
If you were going to write it off Patrick Mahomes' answer, I would still write it. Like, what do you think Travis Kelce did on that play?
I think maybe it's just like, I think he's supposed to eventually get to the crossing route, but it was just like how he got there is the part that Patrick Mahomes doesn't know how long, you know, what kind of juke he's going to make to get there. If he's just going to curl, if he's going to take that jab step, which he did outside. In retrospect, I think that's what he's referencing.
I believe that there is a lot of freedom with the veteran players in the Chiefs offense.
Absolutely.
So I think they had a route. They have a the routes are more conceptual than they are. At 15 yards, you stick your leg in the ground and you square it off and you cut in.
Definitely true, yeah.
You know, different coaches want it different ways. You know, Bal Saunders and the Coryell approach is to round it. They don't want squared ends. They want rounded because they want you running full speed so that if you catch the ball, you're at top speed and can make the biggest run after catch play. I think the way it's kind of morphed is with Andy Reid, you're going to areas, particularly against zones and even against mans. You got to clear out for this guy. You've got to take your guy deep if it's man. So we don't end up with like what basically L'Jarius Sneed did, where he dropped off his guy.
Yeah.
That was a bad route combination that led. McVay didn't have a very good route combo. In fact, I think Perkins probably on that one thought he had man and it was zone. And because Sneed just releases the guy that he's on, or Sneed completely sniffed it out and just freelanced and dropped back and got the pick. But I think Andy Reid does a good job of trying to not get a lot of traffic, get everybody to a certain spot to where you one guy's not covering two, three guys aren't covering two. You know, like we're going to space you out. And then within how the coverage works, you have freedom to drift it one way or the other. Because I actually think Mahomes and Travis Kelce weren't quite on the same page. because he throws it back behind him, which actually led him to the open space, which I think Mahomes had the total field view. And as he's coming across, he's like, well, I'm going to send you up over the middle because no one's there.
Yeah.
And Kelce was, you know, then he made the adjustment because he's a tremendous athlete, catches the ball, and he's off and running. That's your story. Why are you going to let Andy Reid throw a wet blanket on it, acting like, yeah, that's in our route tree. We call it the Wiggly NS backwards. Like, what the hell kind of – no.
Well, so last week, and Todd and I talked about it, the way Travis Kelce got open on his game when he touchdown was really interesting to me because it was something they had noticed the way he was being defended throughout the whole game, both scheme-wise, schematically, and by the individual player that was on him. Which is why I thought a week later they score on another sort of adjustment that is, to go back to last week, that adjustment is more just that game, right? It's end game. You got to see how they're defending you, how the player's defending you. This was more a big picture of what they always do together, which is just go get open. And that's what I thought that Patrick Mahomes was saying. And I still think he does mean that there is that wiggle room within the offense, which is what you're referencing. Now, you mentioned the veteran players.
I think there's an area Kelce's headed to.
Yeah.
Right? Like, designed within the offense. Like, he can't just be like, well, I'm going to cut this to the sideline, but maybe I'm going to make it a go route. There's an area he's got to go to, but right. Within where it, you know, there's freedom to.
I think he could have made a double move there if he wanted to get open. And I think that's what Patrick.
The coverage dictates where you.
Right.
Make your route turn and where you end up. And it's up to Mahomes and Kelce to see the same thing.
It is. But I will say, because you mentioned the veteran guys, I think it's one of the reasons we haven't seen Sky Moore on the field as much as people would like, because I think they ask this of all of their guys, is you got to see the play and then recognize where you're supposed to go. There's a lot of wiggle room there. One really good example of it is the opening drive interception that Patrick Mahomes threw in San Francisco, where if the safety's barreling down on you, you got to cut in front, and Sky Moore doesn't do it and still loops his regular route around and doesn't make the adjustment. And I think that people that have wondered why Sky Moore isn't on the field a lot more as a receiver, I need to clarify, they've wondered why he's not on the field as a receiver. It's because that part takes some adjustment, and especially when you're coming from an offense, a non-Power 5 school that didn't have that sort of requirement from your wide receivers, that it's going to take a little bit of time, because the other stuff, Sky Moore rates pretty well. He gets open. He gets off the line of scrimmage pretty well. So it leads you to believe that it's that piece that, and that's the stuff that's impossible for us to know. I mean, without talking to the guys, and there's certain people that'll tell you route stuff that was wrong, but just on a consistent basis, we don't know what play was actually called whenever we see it on film.
Yeah. I think I think if there's a negative to take away from that game, the Champ Bailey on Tony Gonzalez approach finally got employed. And they smoked it for that touchdown.
Yeah.
But it also took Travis Kelce out a lot.
He only had four catches, yeah.
And he only had, for a long time, he had two for like 56.
So, yeah, midway through the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they had really kind of taken him away, and they'd done that by saying, well, we're not getting beat by you. Jalen Ramsey's on you. And not everybody has a Jalen Ramsey, so it's not like everybody can run out there and do it. But like Marcus Peters on Travis Kelce, I would love to see that matchup.
Right. Yeah.
Just for the
absolutely, the entertainment value.
Oh, would be fantastic.
For sure, yeah.
But, you know, if they think he's their guy, you know, but teams that have that, like, I do think that was pretty effective, right? And I think it was definitely effective in the red zone. And I think that is something that teams will take away.
I've been wondering for a while why teams just don't go all in towards just trying to get Kelce out of the game, even if it gives you bad matchups elsewhere, just because you know that's where the Chiefs want to go. Now, as much as Travis Kelce ends up as, you know, what we would all call the player of the week before in Los Angeles. Derwin James has been pretty effective against him. This is all relatively speaking, because nobody just completely shuts him down. Heck, we're talking about a team slowing him down when he had, was it 56 yards and a touchdown yesterday. But I agree with you. I don't think Travis Kelce was a focal point of the offense yesterday, and I think it's because they just said, we don't care if our best defender is supposed to play on the outside. He's our best defender, and that's who we're using to defend Travis Kelce.
I think we'll see more of it. You agree?
Yeah, I think you. I think
is that what
right.
you would do if you were a absolutely. Defensive coach?
Yeah.
Haven't you been stunned? They haven't done it more.
Absolutely, and you got to have the personnel to execute it. And you mentioned, you know, the group that fits into the Jalen Ramsey basket is pretty small. Derwin James is one of those guys, but there's other ways you could do it too. I mean, we saw New England every time they played Travis Kelce, they would bracket him. You know, single coverage, but then with the safety just ready to double team him. That's the strategy I'm really surprised that more teams haven't employed. It's good for the Chiefs to see that. You know, that now that's on tape. Now, I mean, but granted, when the guy's been here this long, I assume that, you know, Patrick Mahomes said it. They anticipated Jalen Ramsey was going to defend Kelce yesterday.
And they had,
and even still, they had almost 440 yards of offense and yeah, almost 30 first
right.
downs. So
yeah,
they just find a way to work around whatever the best thing, whatever they take away, someone takes away from them.
Yeah,
they find a way to get it elsewhere.
And I hesitate to say this, you know, he had 320 yards passing, so there's like, well, you know, okay, but he only threw the one touchdown and he had the pick, so they were actually pretty good, but I think the last pass he threw was the pick, right? I think after that was run city. And I think I know it was over 9 minutes, he was at 320 yards passing, and he would not, if he threw another pass, he didn't complete it. Let me put it that way. There were no more passing yards gained by him for it, I'm thinking like 12 minutes.
Threw one pass at 809, pass incomplete. When they got the ball after the second,
I know I was when I was watching the shortcut of it. But
yeah,
last
you're
night.
Right. You're right.
9:55. He had 320 yards. I was like, God, that's yep. what he ended up with. He's not going to yep. get another passing yard the rest of this game.
Just through just the one pass at
okay.
the end when they got the
when
pick.
When was the last time he had a completion?
Last completion was
about 10 minutes left.
10:37 left. The pass okay. passed to Moore for two yards on first and goal.
Okay,
but just the one pass
and then threw the pick.
On at the end of that.
So that was
that
it.
Drive.
They shut it down.
Yeah.
So I you know, I want to say like maybe that's like if I'm a defensive coordinator, you want to be like, okay, here we go, this is how I'm going to do it. But then you're also like, yeah, they kind of shut it down. Like that could have been 4-10 if they'd have kept the foot on the pedal. If they'd have needed more points, obviously the run. Let's see how many times Pacheco can get, you know, de-cleated. Approach to finishing the game would not be what they would do if they needed points. To which it was almost like, what are you doing? Why just him? Like, Ronald Jones could use the work.
I think you have to see what you've got at Ronald Jones at some point, too. I think it's only beneficial.
And he got
to
some touches, but I just thought it was almost abusive how they were hammering away with Pacheco and the shots he was taking.
Back to the Ronald Jones thing, like that's the situation if you're going to have him in the playoffs, for example. Like if he's going to be on your roster, that's where you want to see what he can do for you. Is the 4 minute offense when doesn't have to worry about catching, that's not his strength, and short yardage. That, you know, so yeah, he did get four carries, but it wasn't in the situations I think that they potentially could need him in the postseason.
Let's pause for a second on the Chiefs. I want to switch to college football just because is this Associated Press?
Yeah, I've seen Associated Press, and I've also seen Bruce Feldman report it.
Hugh Freeze to Auburn. I mean, what could go wrong?
Nothing.
I mean, get your gas masks. Let's celebrate at Auburn, right?
This is what, like three or four just – can't go wrong hires in a row for Auburn?
Sure. I didn't like the last one. The success of Boise.
What's the last one you did like at Auburn?
Gus Malzahn. I thought that was a pretty good one. I wouldn't have fired Gus Malzahn. But, you know, what do I know?
I honestly, at this point, you have to question anybody who wants the Auburn job because it's getting to the point where if you win a national title or go to a national title – and 2 years later, win eight games, they're dropping you.
Maybe Hugh Freeze was tired of the administration sitting across the room and watching him do his job.
I think I would always be tired of the administration if I was at Liberty.
Sitting across the room you know, quietly watching you do your job.
You want to hear something even crazier?
Is no one picking up on what I'm laying down?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you. Are you? You're not.
It's going right over your head. Because I just saw Tom Pelissero, who just tweeted.
No, trust me, Tom Pelissero is not tweeting what I'm getting at.
True.
Am I the only one that's seen the?
No, I know he's not tweeting what you're getting at.
I don't know if
what he's tweeting might be of more note than what we're talking about right now.
Is Hugh Freeze going to get it to coach is what I'm asking, or is some younger guy going to do it while Hugh Freeze watches from the other corner of the room?
Yes. No, what I said, I was distracted by what Tom Pelissero just tweeted because I thought it was maybe more of note. There is a new player on the Chiefs practice squad. Melvin Gordon.
Really?
Jettisoned by the Broncos for fumbling 5 times this year a week ago.
We'll go get
2-time Pro Bowler is expected to sign with the Chiefs practice squad.
Got our new returner.
No, I don't think so. At this age, Melvin Gordon still returning kicks.
He mentioned the fumbles. I was being a silly goose.
I see. Good call. But, wow.
All right.
That's something.
So now we got 2 things that are coming down. But I do want to talk a little bit about Hugh Freeze and Matt Rhule. So where do you want to go? I wanted to get the Hugh Freeze thing out there. You want to finish on that? You want to talk about this Melvin Gordon thing?
It's your show.
We'll get to the college. All right, let's do Melvin Gordon. I don't like this. I'm getting too many things coming at me at once.
Got the perfect guest on here for us.
Yeah, Melvin Gordon.
Too much breaking news. Don't know how that's possible.
Don't even know how. What do you think?
I think the Clyde Edwards-Helaire injury is pretty serious.
Okay.
And I think there's doubt about when he will be able to get back, and when he does get back, at what percentage, and, you know, is there going to be enough season left for him to get in any sort of rhythm before it ends? And let's face it, when he was healthy, the production wasn't there either. You always want a running back on your practice squad. Those guys are pretty susceptible to getting injured. And
have we seen the last carry for Clyde Edwards-Helaire in a Chiefs uniform?
I think it's possible. I don't know that I would say more than 50-50, but yeah, it's a non-zero chance.
I do think that's, you know, it may have ended the Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the CEH era may have ended with quite a whimper when it was all said and done. All right, let's take a break. I do want to get it a little bit more into Matt Rhule, the Nebraska Hugh Freeze. Also talk about the Chiefs and the Bengals. Sam McDowell is with us. He's a big deal, you know. He's the columnist for the Kansas City Star. He's brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. There's a 29-degree man-sized draft beer waiting for you right now at Twin Peaks. Plus TVs, looking for a great place to watch that World Cup. It's on at Twin Peaks, plus a made-from-scratch menu. The scenic views, eats, drinks, scenic views. We're talking about Twin Peaks.
All right, the good sense. End of the hour answer. Chiefs over the Rams yesterday. How many consecutive games have the Chiefs won against defending Super Bowl champions?
Oh, well, more than one, I'm guessing, if you're asking the question.
Mm-hmm. I would say several. We actually did have some
Tighten
of these.
This.
We had 2 Broncos.
Tighten this. Give
well,
you some
good.
Things to try to make that work over there.
They swept the Broncos.
They live dangerously.
Swept the Broncos.
In 2016.
Well, so you think it's definitely that far back?
We had the Patriots.
Listen, we've already done this.
Right. Yeah. But I'm saying which ones we got. Don't try to
recreate it like you're going to rattle off the whole list.
Doesn't this help the listener?
Who do you think you are, Russell
point?
Wilson?
Is this the point? It helps out
there
the listener?
There are times that I recreate, I never cheat and act like I get them all.
Well, I'm saying we had, like, the ones we got.
You got
2 Broncos.
Early on, you said that.
I had a Patriots, and Surrender reminded those the Patriots back-to-back years.
Yeah.
And then
back-to-back times they played. 17 and 19.
We had, obviously, yesterday.
Yeah.
So there's 5.
So we had 5. I thought you had another one too.
I had you had the Broncos back to back, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they swept them the same year.
You guys just got the 5.
No, I think we had one more.
And you figured there were
the
a
other
more.
Ones.
Okay, we'll just
Cause
go,
it's 8.
Well, it's 8. Rams this year, Pats in 19, Pats in 17, Broncos twice in 16, Seahawks in 14.
I don't think we got that one.
No, we didn't.
Packers in 11.
We had that one. I had that
one. The worst win in Chiefs history.
Yeah, the most costly win in Chiefs history. And the Steelers in 09. That was in overtime, the Jamal Charles breakout game where he ran back the opening kickoff for touchdown, and they won in overtime. Last loss, 2007 at Indianapolis. They've also won six straight against defending champions.
You can't call it a breakout game when a future head coach doesn't start him. He's what is he, break out like four times?
No, it was in 09. I mean, it was
still wasn't gonna,
he wasn't
gonna
starting.
Start.
And it was like, why is Thomas Jones playing and not the guy who's really fast and elusive
and averaging
and strong
8.4
and averaging,
yards per carry,
averaging Jim Brown numbers?
Yeah.
Maybe give him the ball more often.
Yeah, that was quite the Todd Haley special.
One more fun Jamal Charles stat noted that of all the running backs who have had 250 yards rushing in a game, he's the only one that also had a 150-yard receiving game. We were looking at the combined
really
at the 300-yard scrimmage thing with Josh Jacobs yesterday. So I was looking around. Someone said, well, Jamal Charles would have gotten there in that season finale against Denver where he had 259 on the ground. They only had one more possession. He only had 3 yards receiving that day, so he was still a long ways away. But of the 18 or so guys who have had 250 in a game on the ground, he's the only one to have 150 receiving in a different game. That was a game at Oakland.
Jamal Charles was amazing.
Yes. Can you imagine him in this offense?
Oh.
Forget it.
God. Well, we did see him in this offense.
Yeah.
But you mean with
this
Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they would have no red zone problems.
Yeah. So amazing that he made me, granted, a dumb guy, made me think the Chiefs actually had a shot to beat the Ravens in that playoff game.
I know. He gave us hope there for a minute. We were playing for some wonderful Good Sense. Mm-hmm. GoodSenseSubs.com is where you can order right now. Great, great subs, locally owned and operated. The meat, the cheese, that's sliced right in front of you. The bread, baked fresh twice each day. Get you some on your way home tonight. Go to GoodSenseSubs.com. The app's an easy way to order. Make sure you're part of that loyalty club, people. You get 10% back. Check it out. Get you a big 16-inch sub. I'm a big fan of the 16-inch sub, like to because I actually eat less because I eat 8 inches and then I save and I've got like a dinner or like.
Whereas if you get to 12, you just one more thing and you snarf it down. Yeah. You've got nothing left.
Love
I hear you.
Love it. The big 16-inch sandwich. It's awesome. Freshest veggies around. Good Sense. Get you some tonight. Sam McDowell is with us, brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. The Bengals game. What do you think? Prediction. What are you feeling?
Let's see.
What have you learned?
I really haven't been invested too much into the Bengals game yet.
Chiefs win.
But you think it's that easy?
Chiefs are early. They were a 3-point pick yesterday, if it's moved or not.
I do think it's that easy. I think it's payback. I think part of the reason why they were kind of sloppy against the Rams is one. I think Andy Reid held some things back. I think the Sky Moore throwback was to get them to defend, to spread it out. I think there's some other element to that. Like that was put on tape to spread the defense away. I think that was, because why else would you run that when they ran that? Now, Andy Reid is one that likes to reward the guys by doing some fun things. And so I could see that being part of it. It's just 2.5, by the way. That
some late money
a little bit
on the Bengals.
Well, this shows 2.5 to 2.5.
I saw yesterday. I think we're looking at the same site.
Yeah.
The current one last night would sit 3.
Sit 3. So I think there were plays that were left on the shelf. I think there's no way to get motivated for that game, and I think the Chiefs still covered. I think it's actually all kinds of self-inflicted wounds, which shows how sloppy they were in a lot of other ways, and yet they still got there. I think this Chiefs team, it's time to start talking about them being pretty damn good.
Yeah, past time to talk about them being good.
I mean, they
they're missing guys too.
The only possible downfall would be, and it's something that as he gets further in his career, I would worry less about, is that Patrick Mahomes clearly has had this game circled since late January of this year. Is he a little too amped to when he goes out there? But I don't think he will be, because he hasn't been that guy this year.
I don't know. I mean, he might be.
He's so good at keeping that intensity just right at that perfect simmering level.
I think the last time that came up was the AFC Championship game against the Patriots, and obviously they recovered and tied it, but I think that's the last time I can remember looking at him in a game and going, yeah, he's too juiced right now.
Yep. I need to go back and try and find it, but earlier this year I had looked up Patrick Mahomes' numbers if he gets to play the team he lost to, like, within the next two seasons, how they turn out. And I think he was like 7-1, and a loss was in overtime. It was in overtime because it was the Bengals. Mm. He obviously played the Bengals in the AFC Championship after just playing them and losing to them in the regular season. And then it was the Patriots overtime game as well. He had lost. Also, same situation, same season, lost the second game in overtime. But he performs pretty well when he gets a chance to play a team he just lost to, and I don't think that's by coincidence. I mean, yeah, Patrick Mahomes performs pretty well regardless, but his numbers in these types of games, which theoretically they should be more difficult games because they've already beaten him once, but they're still better than his career norms and a lot of the major statistics.
His array of personal motivations is really Jordan-like.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Here's why I like him against the Bengals. They're 14th ranking now. Yardage-wise on defense, 16th points-wise. That's trending better, which we expect to be because they've got lesser teams and they're going to get to pad their stats a little bit.
The Bengals, they've played a tough schedule and they have the toughest schedule remaining.
Yes, because it never quite works the way they want. But the part that I wanted to underscore is if you round out to a 10th, the Chiefs' defense is now up to number 11 on yards per play. And I think that's going to continue to get better.
And the Bengals do get Ja'Marr Chase back this week, but is it going to be like Mike Williams? Is he's probably not going to be mid-season 100% Ja'Marr Chase, is he?
No. I mean, I think he'll probably hit the ground running. But
I think so, too.
I think, you know, that they won't pad their stats against the Bengals, but they will against other opponents. But, you know, they've done some heavy lifting before now. Right, like I, and they've had a number of games where they've come up against quarterbacks that were, you know, Kyler Murray, capable individuals who they were burying, who then got to pad some stats.
Yeah, Tom Brady did it too.
And Tom Brady did it, and so I think there's an element there. I think defensively, if you're to evaluate teams for the Super Bowl, I think the best kept secret amongst all the contenders is the Chiefs' defense.
The Chiefs defense, I agree with you. I think the Chiefs defense has played really well for, I think it's 4 weeks now. They gave up, you would think I'd remember this because I literally just looked it up yesterday for a story I put it in. But I am one click away, which means one internet here away. They give up 229.
Don't blame your lack of preparation on our internet. Okay?
My lack of memorization.
That's our job.
They gave up 229 yards to the Titans. Granted, you're playing Malik Willis, but you can only play the guys you're playing. Right. They gave up 315 to the Jaguars, 365 to the Chargers. But I put an asterisk on that because they played terrific in the second half. And it's really the best evidence we've seen, I think, in the last 3 years of a halftime adjustment from the defense, like totally changing the game. And then 198 yesterday, again, same situation as the Titans. You're playing a bad quarterback, but you can only beat who you're playing. And, you know, Pro Football Focus actually gave the Chiefs defense their best grade of the season yesterday, taking into account everybody they were playing. I think they've been really good for the last 16 quarters, except for those two in the first half against the Chargers.
Well, and in the sack category, they're looking like one of the better teams in the NFL right now.
It's the part I'm the most off on the Chiefs this year. When I look at what I thought the team was in the preseason compared to where they are now, it's surprised me the most what they're doing as a defensive line.
That is the biggest reason to feel like, because I certainly like, I think McDuffie, I think McDuffie's contributed to the D-line being able to get more sacks because they're covering better. Yeah. I think the combination of him and L'Jarius Sneed is one hell of a place to start at cornerback.
Yeah,
that's good again yesterday.
Sneed's, I think, had his best two games the last two games. Mm. But what's interesting is, you know, 2 games ago with Mike Williams, they moved him to the outside. And, I mean, you know, I've long said that I thought L'Jarius Sneed should be playing on the outside. He tackles really well.
He should travel. That's the term.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well,
potentially. Come on, use your football catchphrases, please.
Potentially. I just mean, actually, like, if they lock him to the left or right, that's fine. I don't know if he has to follow the top wide receiver.
Well, you're talking about how he plays
the slot.
With Mike Williams, he traveled.
Yeah,
that's the
yeah.
new phrase. He went. They switched and put him yeah. with where Mike Williams was.
So
he traveled to wherever he went.
And I've long thought he should play the outside. He sort of gets punished for being a good tackler and a good blitzer. But we saw yesterday, which is not the first time he's had to come out of the game because he got hit. He's in the concussion protocol. And look, I mean, his body gets beat up when he plays on the inside. I would always just put my best cornerback on the outside and let him play there. And the reason I bring this up is because Ja'Marr Chase. Are the Chiefs again going to put Snead on the outside because you've got a bigger wide receiver who can catch and high point the football? And is that going to be L'Jarius Sneed? And, you know, McDuffie has been begging the coaches to play him in the slot. He loves playing the slot, even though he didn't do it in college. He just really enjoys because he says that there's more action in that spot, which, of course, there is. But I think if you've got a guy that's willing to do that, that this is the type of game to where you might want to see what L'Jarius Sneed can do on the outside again.
Take a guess where the Chiefs, because now Trent McDuffie has qualified for the rankings on PFF, where they the Chiefs' top two corners rank?
I would say Snead is in that 10 to 15 range.
Okay.
And McDuffie's going to be a little bit harder for me because he hasn't played that many games. Are you looking at the 50% snaps?
The
20% snaps.
I am looking at, I don't know, whatever pops up initially.
Well, what pops up
ignore
usually
snap
is,
minimum.
Yeah, that's zero snaps. There could be some guys that have played like 3 snaps in there.
Okay, well, how much do you want me to
do at least? I think if you got to do the 50%, although to get Snead or to get McDuffie in there,
No. I'm not. No, I've got the snap minimum in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd say he's around 20 to 25.
Well, Jerry Snead's number two.
He's number two now?
Are
you've got it up on overall or coverage?
Corner. Overall. What do you want, coverage or?
No, either one.
How much do you want to nitpick this little fun thing I'm trying to do?
I'm interested in both.
Killjoy.
Crying out loud. We sit down at a dinner and you're going to bitch about the salt all night. What is your problem?
I'm interested in both of them.
He's number two on the PFF cornerback grades. Trent McDuffie's number 16. Joshua Williams is number 53. But you can consider everybody goes three deep on corners. Now you need 96 guys.
You and I had a conversation about Joshua Williams after that Bills game that I think people freaked out because he got beat twice, but he barely got beat. It wasn't an indication to me of what his future was going to be that game.
No, because I thought he was in position. It's just the game's still just a little too fast, but there's something to like. But here's the other part that I really like about it. Guess who is number 8? Charvarius Ward.
He's having a really good year in San Francisco.
He's playing really well. They're very happy with him there. And my point is just that they kind of seem to be cornerback whisperers. Like, they know who the good ones are. And because, like, right now I'm kind of the mindset, like, well, you got to sign Snead. And I really think you do because I think he is a combination of a lot of different things. So I'd really like to see them get him signed. But, you know, they just seem to be able to find a guy. Like, Josh Williams will probably be number – you know, and even like they made Rashad Fenton like last year at times like number 8, like, you know, and I'm like the eye test, and then there's some of this, and you know, that's baked in this as well. The eye test never said, well, that's a top 10 corner, but they were using him in a way that they were maximizing his skills. But I do think that, like, this is the quiet little secret. Chris Jones is the number 1 defensive tackle in football right now, according to this. They've got 2 guys in the top 16. I mean, New England does too. New England's got Jack Jones is tied for 6th, and Jonathan Jones is 11th. So New England's the other one. But, like, yeah, the Jets have 2 also.
Sauce is number 1, isn't he?
They have 3. Actually, the Jets have 3 of the top 12.
Isn't Sauce number 1 or rookie?
Is number
a rookie?
One. He is number 1. I didn't have it scrolled up there. I had their 2 guys that are down at 12 and 13. But, yes, he's number 1. Jalen Ramsey's number 3 after yesterday. So I think quietly – The part that doesn't seem to compute is where their linebackers rank. I'm not sure. I would like to speak with the linebacking grading that's going on over there because I don't think they're giving credit. Nick Bolton is up to number 9. Darius Harris is 25.
I don't think you could expect.
Willie Gay's 39. I think Willie Gay's better than 39. I didn't realize Nick Bolton had risen that high. He was lower.
Willie Gay struggled when he initially came back from a suspension for a few games. He's been much better the past two games. He was really good in L.A.
But I think very quietly the defensive personnel is pretty damn good.
I think that cornerback thing is a Steve Spagnuolo thing as well. I mean, he's got a lot to do with who they pick. He's got, you know, really specific preferences on the guys he feels like are going to fit well in his system. And then, I mean,
you know what he loves?
He doesn't usually love rookies. That's all he has.
No, but
this
you know
year.
What he? You know what the one
started
trait?
Yesterday?
Length,
long. Yeah, he likes
everybody
long
has to be long
because he presses. So he doesn't want you to have to give up yardage with your feet in order to get there.
Length and toughness. Everybody's got to be a tackler. That's what he seems to be. You know, that those seem to be his traits when you look at the players that he's looking for. Let's take a break and talk a little college football with Sam McDowell from the Kansas City Star. He is with us. He's brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. Did you know that you can go by and get yourself a 29-degree man-sized draft beer right now? That's right, right now, 29-degree man-sized draft beer. Enjoy you some happy hour. Nobody does it better than Twin Peaks. McDowell's with us here on the program. He's brought to you by Twin Peaks. Great spot to go watch you some Monday Night Football. 29-degree man-sized draft beer. TVs everywhere. A great made-from-scratch menu. Eats, drinks, scenic views. It's all right there at Twin Peaks. Go to TwinPeaksRestaurant.com for more details. Sam, did Nebraska finally get their man?
I think they got as good of a hire as they were going to get.
I mean, I would agree.
It's a guy who's taken teams that have been in the similar situations. Now, granted, not maybe that have the same history that Nebraska has, but at some point, and heck, people that root for Nebraska probably aren't going to like this, but they've got to move on from like their tradition that, because college football is so much different than it used to be. And you've got
to, I said a couple weeks ago, they got to get Tom Osborne the hell away from that.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to, the reason you hired this guy is because it was what he's done. So let him do it, you know. Rather than molding him into what you are, you've got to mold yourselves into what this guy is.
Yeah, I like the hire. I think it's his, you know, he's the most successful college coach out there. I've been surprised. He finally had a good year this year, but Chip Kelly, I really thought was just going to hit the ground running and take off. Now they're 9-3, I think, which is a hell of a year. Gave USC everything they wanted, and USC right now has got the inside track and playing in the playoffs. So, I mean, he had a heck of a year. He had one kind of whoops loss. I can't remember what it was that they probably shouldn't have had. I can't remember. Arizona. The other loss was a solid loss as well. And I thought, wow, wherever Chip Kelly goes, you know, this is going to be the guy. So that's one that makes me go, okay, Matt Rhule is not just an automatic success. But if he can't win 10, 11 games at Nebraska, it can't be done anymore. Right? Like, I'm a big believer. You hire the right coach and they will bring Nebraska back. You know,
they're just going to find their Bob Stoops.
They're Urban Meyer at Ohio State. Right. I mean, what Ohio State fans are disappointed. Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. I know it took a little longer than everybody thought, but he's now kicked Ohio State's ass twice in a row. I mean, you find that right guy, I do think you can still win in northern schools.
So give me the reason why on Nebraska, like why Nebraska fits that criteria.
The historical. I mean, the history and the commitment to the program. You know, 90,000 people buying tickets, giving money, building weight rooms, building facilities,
That's the part that is why I've always thought it was a good fit for him, is because the hardest part when you come into a program that isn't winning as many games as it should is you've lost the fans. I mean, look at what – to compare this to a more local school like Missouri basketball, Dennis Gates is going to have to do quite a bit to get all of those fans to keep coming every week. Like Nebraska football, they come. They come.
They're already
out,
there.
They show up. So that's why I thought it should have been because I think we all thought that this dance was, you know, Nebraska was the one trying to woo the candidate. And I always thought this is a good fit for you because you've done this before and you probably haven't had the support from the fan base. And I understand that support comes with more criticism, but he's a guy that just came from the NFL. Like that's not going to be foreign to him.
Yeah. I haven't toured the facilities lately, but everybody says they're great. Assuming they're great, You know, most jobs that have been down, as long as they've been down, you're going into, and first you show some signs of life, then you do the Lance Leipold. Well, we saw the facilities in Ames, and then you have to try to get that. That's all there in place.
Yeah.
So that's the one reason why I think when you get the guy who can recruit and who can CEO it, which is really is more what a college football coach is, which he proved he could do at Baylor. I mean, he took over Baylor at a tough time. It wasn't Scott Drew or Butch Drew's down there.
Yeah.
Scott Drew. Was it Scott Drew? There wasn't a murder, but they just had a massive scandal. And he immediately went, no, no, no. He had one bad year. He said, no, no, we're fine. And the talent kept coming back in. And he had high tempo stuff going. And so, you know, I think it's going to go well. I think they finally got it right.
I think there's opportunity there, again, for both sides. But you mentioned the CEO. That's what I keep coming back to. You did hire a CEO, so let him be the CEO.
Yeah. Well, the CEO can't keep being Tom Osborne, right? That's the problem. And I think his shadow needs to go away. And like you said, I like the way you put it, just evolve to what it is he does.
Yeah.
Hugh Freeze at Auburn. What is there a collateral? He's going to recruit. He's going... A lot of the stuff that got him in trouble is no longer against the rules. Auburn is going to recruit now.
No, not Freeze. Freeze got a little bit more of a checkered past. I mean, he got busted for what at Ole Miss, like calling an escort service.
Did he have that too?
Yeah, he did, right?
Check that, Curtis. Mm. I know he had, you know, Laramie Tunsil and the gas mask and guys, coaches paying his mom's rent and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, he called an escort service while on a recruiting trip
in Tampa.
Do you really think they're worried about that at Auburn?
Well, I just said you said everything. He is legal now.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Good point.
And then there was an incident at Liberty too, right? I mean, there's a lot of sexual assault allegations that surrounded, you know, that foot. There's lawsuits dealing with that stuff there too.
I'm not saying I would make the hire, but I'm saying talent is going to go to Auburn. That's never been a problem. Do you agree with that?
Agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
and he can coach football.
Yes, yes. It got saltier in the SEC.
All right, Josh Jacobs, the fourth player in the Super Bowl era to have 300 scrimmage yards and two touchdowns in a game. Name any of the other three. Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.